And we're back here on 93.3 CFMU FM, broadcasting to Hamilton at 93.3 on the FM dial and the rest of the world via our online streaming website at cfmu.ca. I'm joined today by Professor Yasser Hadara, a faculty member who's supportive of the student efforts against genocide and for divestment on campus. So, Professor Hadara, thanks very much for joining us on the program.
Thank you for having me.
I know you're very busy. We were just talking about that before the program. Not only are you a professor with many responsibilities, but you've been involved in helping the students with these divestment efforts and the many activities that they're going through. We're talking about good students here. I imagine you also have to deal with delinquent students in your line of work. I suppose I've been a delinquent interviewer because I haven't spoken with you on these subjects since the end of the summer. When we left off, and the last interview, we were talking about how the student encampment had shut down because it had managed to secure an agreement from the university that you'd be able to get information from the university. They would disclose certain information. So McMaster had agreed that they would give you information and financial disclosure about their links to Israel, links to apartheid, links to military activity. And I'm just wondering if we could first look at what has happened since that time, since the Board of Governors meetings and these other activities in the fall, in which students were to receive information about McMaster's ties?
So thank you very much for that intro, Brendan, and reminding your listeners about where we left off. So yes, the encampment ended with an agreement between the students and McMaster. And as I mentioned to you back then, I thought the best thing about the agreement is that it gave us levers to pull on to continue our work. And there were a number of commitments that McMaster made. One of them was that the students would get to meet with the CFO and get some information about how McMaster does its investment and how that entire process plays out, who are the decision makers, and so on. And then those meetings did happen, unfortunately. We got some basic technical information. For example, we learned that there is a committee of the board that is charged with supervising McMaster's investment decisions. They are supposed to act according to a policy which technically requires McMaster to enforce ethical standards, including human rights and as part of the larger framework of the principles of responsible investing, which is a framework that that the United Nations has established and that many investors have subscribed to. But as I said, the information that the students got from these meetings were very was very basic and technical, administrative, I would call it. The university did not wish to do any actual disclosure of investments or any details about the investments in any way, shape, or form until the Board of Governors meeting that occurred on the 24th of October. In the months leading up to that, the students have continued to do events for advocacy and for community building on campus. They continued to collaborate with faculty to organize press conferences, statements. They did some healing circles for students. All of this was really badly needed. I think you mentioned, kind of not the fact that we haven't spoken in a while, and I think all of us are drained. And it's just we're doing what we can over here, but you can't you cannot change the fact that a year, more than a year into the Israeli onslaught on Gaza, the genocide is still ongoing. Children are still being murdered, and it's just day in and day out. There is no end in sight apparently, and it just it's draining. It's emotionally draining. It's mentally draining. But back to McMaster. So the biggest levers were the fact that the students would get to present to the Board of Governors. This was to happen on October 24th, and it did happen. In advance of that, the students naturally tried to contact members of the board, faculty members, supportive faculty members tried to contact members of the board, community members tried to contact members of the board. I would think that this would be a normal thing in an open society when you have a body that represents, that governs a public institution, which McMaster is. All universities in Canada are public institutions. And so when you have a body that's tasked with governing a public institution, no one should balk at being contacted by students and community members who are affected by the behavior of that institution. Unfortunately, McMaster, politely but very firmly closed the door on this and told the students, you've been granted the meeting, the one meeting, and you can't contact individual members of the board ahead of time. Faculty members who corresponded with members of the board were mostly, received silence in response. And so the university, it was clear that the university administration kind of was shutting down any avenue to try and influence board members except through that one presentation. The presentation was part of the public session of the board, so anyone could attend, but the meeting was held on Zoom as a Zoom webinar, so no one could interact. We could just watch. But what we watched was a master class. The students had an amazing presentation, professionally put together. They presented with poise and grace. They spoke from the heart. They were factual. They really, in my opinion, they put the responsibility squarely on the shoulders of the members of the Board of Governors. I don't think any reasonable person listening to that presentation could fail to understand the enormity of the genocide that we are witnessing, or the significance of a decision by the Board of Governors to divest from weapons manufacturers, defense contractors, and businesses that benefit from and are complicit in the genocide and apartheid. After that meeting, McMaster did follow through on their commitment to publicly disclose their investments. And so the students went to work. The information needed to be analyzed and explained. And the students put in an enormous amount of effort and consulted a number of professionals to try and understand the information. And what they have discovered and documented, and anyone who's interested should consult the social media accounts of SPHR at McMaster. But what they found is that McMaster invests at least $47 million in companies that are complicit in genocide and apartheid. And so the responsibility is on the members of the Board of Governors. As any body like this, no outsider can put forth a motion for a vote to the board. Students cannot do it. Faculty members cannot do it. You, Brendan, other community members cannot do this. The only people who can put forward a motion for a vote are members of the Board of Governors. And so the responsibility lies on them. Somebody needs to move that McMaster divest from weapons manufacturers, defense contractors, and companies that benefit from genocide and apartheid or are complicit in genocide and apartheid. And that motion can be, we hope that somebody will have the moral compass to put forward such a motion in the December meeting of the board, and that it would be voted upon, and that McMaster would divest from these companies.
Wow, this is all very extraordinary. That's a lot of information, Professor Hadara. For those just tuning in, I'm speaking with Professor Yasser Hadara here at McMaster University. He's been involved in the student efforts with BDS here on campus. And that is a lot of information. It seems to be a well-organized effort by the students. They did get their meeting after all, and they were able to receive information and disclosure about McMaster's investments. Then it was found that McMaster is apparently heavily invested in some of these military ventures linked with Israel, if, as I understand it. So you are relying then on a member of the Board of Governors to advance a motion to call for divestment. Is that right? Is there any effort to move things in that direction?
Other than public calls, I'm not aware of any effort, but the students, this is actually what they closed their presentation with. The presentation was given by four of the students, and they were joined by Professor Michael Link, who's an emeritus professor of law from the University of Western Ontario, who was until recently the United Nations rapporteur on the occupied territories. So quite a quite a name and quite a powerhouse in terms of the knowledge and competence for such a presentation. And at the end of the presentation, one of the students told the board members, "It is now on you. We cannot make the motion to or propose the motion to divest. It is your responsibility to do so." And so they have continued with their public newsletters to make the community aware. Faculty members, a group of faculty members, published an opinion piece in the Hamilton Spectator in support of the proposal for divestment. Community members, Palestinians, Jewish, other allies have campaigned and made public statements along these lines. And you know, we hope that there are enough people of conscience in this governing body who will take this responsibility.
So during this whole time, September, October, half of November, students were waiting for information, waiting for meetings, waiting for results, and they were able to launch into that campaign somewhat about divestment, about finding out the linkages. But other than that, of course, there's still been a lot happening on campus because there is this whole campaign, as you mentioned, against genocide and against apartheid and for other issues. So, what are some of the things that the students have been doing on campus to maintain momentum for the movement that exists there?
Well, I'm glad that you asked that, Brendan, and that you identified it as a movement, because that's really the key, in my opinion. When you have a movement to bring about social change, certainly, in my opinion, the issue we're talking about here is the moral test of our lifetimes. And when you're talking about a movement like this, you can't always be externally focused. Sometimes you really have to just do some self-care, not just for the individuals, but for the group, to try and solidify this movement that we have. And so some of the work that the students did was around that, in terms of organizing healing circles, in terms of doing debriefs around the encampment, and planning for the future, and how we're going to keep this movement sustained until we do our part in achieving some or bringing about some relief for the Palestinians. So that was certainly one part of it. Another part was continuing to build alliances with members of the faculty, members of staff, and members of the surrounding community. So building these alliances and making these connections has also been very important. And then, of course, there have been the public events. I mentioned already, an opinions piece that was authored and published by some faculty members. There was a press conference organized with Faculty for Palestine. There have been a number of teach-ins to communicate and to raise awareness on campus. There has been a newsletter that has been issued regularly to explain the issues and to address different questions and challenges that are sometimes posed to us in terms of whether divestment is necessary or moral or even useful. And I think the newsletters that the students have put out have contained an enormous amount of information and have been very compelling. There have also been students that have had to deal with the university coming down hard on them for acts of protest. A number of students have received persona non grata status from the university, a process which is very strange because McMaster initially used it to suspend the students while they were being investigated, and yet insisted that the students maintain the confidentiality of the entire process, which can be a very intimidating situation for people on the receiving end of something like this. So I can't tell you much more about that particular aspect of it, but the fact that this happened at all has been a serious disappointment for many of us at McMaster. We don't like to see the university treat our students in this fashion.
Well, it's very eye-opening, and it just makes me think, in 20 years, people are going to be asking, what were you doing during a genocide? What was your institution doing? And I guess McMaster is going to have to say, well, the people that were visibly organizing against it, we made them persona non grata.
Yes. I think again, you make you've made a number of really important points tonight, and I'd say this is the most important one. I would really, anyone listening to this or anyone hearing about it, if there's one message I can get, I could deliver to every single person in Hamilton, in Ontario, in Canada, is think about what's going to happen 20 years from now. This is why I call this the moral test of our lifetime. This is an issue that is so glaring, the enormity of the crime being committed, as we all watch live, is really unspeakable. And we are complicit. This country is complicit. Universities that invest are complicit. Law firms that have censored and attacked students are complicit. There will be a reckoning. At some point, all of the political BS that is being used to hide the enormity of what is happening, or to imply that there are two sides to this argument, or that we should be neutral, all of this will evaporate like the whole lot of nothing that it actually is. And people, this is not going to happen 100 years from now. This will happen 10 to 20 years from now. And people are going to have to look at their children and their grandchildren, and they're going to have to explain what they did or what they did not do.
Well, the students are trying to educate people, and those are some powerful words you've given. The students are trying to reach community members and people on the campus. You mentioned a newsletter. Where can people subscribe to or find this newsletter?
Everything is available through the social media accounts of SPHR,
Right,
and
so the Instagram page for McMaster SPHR.
yes.
Very good. They also have allied organizations. There's the Faculty for Palestine, and I'm probably missing some others, so they're probably all grouped together.
Yes, there is the MACAD, the Divestment Coalition at McMaster, which deals not only with divestment from weapons manufacturers, but also from fossil fuel companies and so on. There is Independent Jewish Voices. So those are some allied organizations on campus and off campus.
Right. And, MAC apartheid divest, that brings up another issue, which is the issue of boycotts. So I know you're trying to get divestment on the campus. You're trying to get McMaster to remove its investments in various things. Are you doing anything to boycott activities that are related to the occupation and war?
What we have called for, faculty and students alike, we have called for a boycott of Israeli academic institutions that are complicit in the apartheid regime. And one thing that we are, and so one outcome of the encampment was a commitment that McMaster will develop or articulate an ethical framework for all its international partners. And that job falls to an existing committee at McMaster that's called the International Strategy Advising Committee. And so some of us faculty members have proposed to that faculty committee that there should be a very simple framework that institutions whose operations are in violation of Canadian or international law and institutions that discriminate in hiring or recruitment on the basis of faith or race or ethnicity should not be partners of McMaster. It seems to me like a very obvious thing. It also appears that there are already some existing policies in McMaster that have not been enforced. So if McMaster just enforced its own policies, we would be a long way there. But one of the things that the students did was also in the presentation to the board, they addressed this issue. They were asked about how this jives with the concept of academic freedom, which is a very important concept, a central concept in Western academia. And I think they responded with clarity and again with poise. No one is calling on any kind of rules that would interfere with the academic freedom of individual faculty members and researchers to do their research as they see fit. We are talking about institutional partnerships. It certainly should not be a stretch to say that McMaster will not partner with an institution that is partly built on occupied land, or an occupation that is recognized as illegal by international law, that the International Court of Justice has recently issued an opinion that this occupation is illegal, that the International Court of Justice has called on member states of the United Nations to take every step possible to end this occupation. The General Assembly has recently passed a resolution that this must be done by 2025. So what are we doing partnering with such institutions? The students again called on the Board of Governors to adopt that as a policy. There is another possible mechanism for McMaster to do this, which is through its faculty senate. So some faculty members are considering this, but ultimately, I think the most important thing is the public call. We are calling on McMaster to do the right thing.
Well, you're summing up a great deal of work that's been done, and it's very humbling. So you know, as we move forward, I'm just wondering, given what we know about the efforts to have divestment and boycott and all the other activities going on campus, Yasser, what would you like people to do in the community and on campus, but especially in the community, people who are watching from outside, how do you want them to engage going forward?
Write to the university president, the university provost, and the university's chair of the board of governors. All of these emails are available publicly. Write to the university and say that you think McMaster should divest from companies that are benefiting from war and benefiting from genocide, right? That we should boycott academic institutions that are complicit in war and in apartheid.
Well, Yasser, thank you so much for this interview. And, you know, I know you've got to fit in every little block of time you can in this week and a month and semester like this. So I just wanted to thank you again for being on the program. I hope people check out SPHR McMaster on Instagram, Faculty for Palestine Independent Jewish Voices, and the other groups that are involved. You can check out the social media. Maybe you'll see Yasser speaking. He's given some speeches. He's been part of some of these events that he's mentioning. So thanks for all the great work you're doing. Thanks for being on the program. And we'll keep in touch to find out more about how these campaigns are going.
Thank you very much, Brendan. It's always a pleasure to be here.